From the Figure Four Online Studios in beautiful Bothell, Washington, exclusively at WrestlingObserver.com, you're listening to the Brian and Vinny Show with your hosts, Brian Alvarez and Big Vinny V.
And Craig.
From the great Atlantic Ocean to wide Pacific shore, to the queen of the flowing mountain, south of Baltimore. She's mighty tall and handsome yet, known quite well by all. She made a modern combination on that Wabash cannonball. She come down to Birmingham on a cold December day. When she rolled into the shed, you could hear all the people say, "Here's a gal from Tennessee, she's long and she's tall. She's here from Indiana on that Wabash cannonball. Can't you hear the jingle roll, the rumble and the roar, gliding through the woodland, through the hills and by the shore? The mighty rushing of the engine, lonesome hobo squall, traveling through the jungle on that Wabash cannonball."
God, it took me exactly a week to not know what I was doing here. It's Brian and Vinny Show, everybody. It's July 15, 2014. Figure4online.com/WrestlingObserver.com. And believe it or not, we are live here tonight. Yeah, got Vinny here. Got Craig here.
Good evening, everyone.
It's going to be a fun night here in the program. Got a lot of stuff coming up. We've got a Raw review, obviously, as well as a ECW Hardcore Television Episode 104 review. And in fact, we're doing a trivia contest. That's right, a trivia contest. We've got story bundles for everybody from Paul O'Brien. He is giving away story bundles of his book, Blood Red Turns Dollar Green. What we're going to do here, as I've talked about for about a week now, is we're going to do a trivia contest. I have got five big questions. Hopefully, Craig has amassed some questions as well.
I also have five big questions.
All right. And Vinny, do you have five big questions?
Actually, I've actually got a lot more than five.
Really?
I can cut some out.
Well, what I did, I don't know about the rest of you, is I started with very difficult questions. And then I worked my way into really easy questions.
I
don't want to be here all night.
I actually put little hints in my questions.
What do you mean hints?
Hints to the answer.
Wow.
So your questions are easy is what you're saying.
I hope so.
Well, listen, if you watched ECW Hardcore Television episode 104, you may know the answers to my first two questions.
Excellent.
If you've got If you've got Google, you can probably figure out the answer to my third question. If you've got any sort of clue, you'll know the answer to the fourth question. The fifth question, if you're a hardcore Brian and Vinny fan, you'll get. And the sixth question, if you manage to miss it, I may just cancel your subscription altogether. That's what we've got here. So here's how it's going to work. We're going to do a round table. So one of us will go first. Maybe we'll go in order of reverse order of beauty. So, Vinny, you'll start.
How dare you?
And I'll throw out the phone numbers.
Kick you in the nuts.
The telephone numbers. Hey, Vinny, I saw that picture on your YouTube video that you posted from, I believe, high school.
Have you seen your portrait?
When you were auditioning for 90210.
It is. Well, it was that era. Yeah.
Handsome man.
Oh, thank you.
How old were you?
Senior year in high school, so it would have been 18.
Okay, just checking. I didn't want to get too creepy here. So what we'll do is do this roundtable style. We'll let Vinny go first. He will ask a question, everybody. And after Vinny asks the question, the phone lines will be open. So you can give us a call. The phone number, 855-478-4478. It is toll-free in the U.S. and Canada. We're going to pick up the phone. You're going to attempt to answer the question correctly. If you answer it correctly, you are a winner. A winner is you. And you will get one of the prize packs here. If you do not answer it correctly, I'm going to hang up on you. And you're allowed to try again. I'm going to allow people to attempt to win multiple times. After you win, though, you're done. You can't win two prize packs. So you can keep playing until you win. Again, the number, 855-478-4478. If you're listening for the first time and you can't remember the number, you can go up to WrestlingObserver.com, which is our website, or F4WLive.com, and the phone numbers are right there, 855-478-4478. As always, you can follow us on Twitter tonight, hashtag F4WLive. You can comment throughout the program. I will be monitoring it all evening long, hashtag F4WLive, and we will see how this contest goes. I stole this blatantly from Todd Martin. What's so funny, Craig? What do you?
Nothing. I'm agreeing with you. Yes, you stole this from Todd Martin.
Craig was sneaking away from the mic there. People are already calling.
Why would
you do that? You're on the air. What's the answer?
Wrong.
Not paying attention, I see. I don't know why people just ring the number. All right. Are you ready, Vinny?
I suppose I am.
Okay. Here we go. Vinny will go first. Your first question. Actually, hold on. Sorry. I forgot I actually had some video game contest music. So let me play that here.
Oh.
Yeah. All right, everybody. It's time for the trivia contest for the Blood Red Turns Dollar Green Fun Pack. Coming up here on the Brian and Vinny Show. All right, enough of that. Vinny, your first question.
Sports trivia. Who is the only athlete to play in the World Series in baseball and the Super Bowl in football?
Who is the only athlete to play in the World Series of baseball and the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Excellent question. If you think you know the answer, 855-478-4478. The first correct answer will win a fun pack. Here we go. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Ryan from Nashville.
Ryan, what's up? What's the answer?
Deion Sanders.
That is correct.
That is correct. We've already got a winner. Excellent, my friend. Hold on. Let me play my victory music again. There we go. All right, you win. What was your name again?
Ryan in Nashville.
Ryan in Nashville. I want you to email me, brian@wrestlingobserver.com. And include the phone number you're calling from so I can confirm it is you. You are the first winner tonight.
Woohoo!
Congratulations, Ryan.
Thank you, sir.
All right, excellent job. Man, we're on a roll already.
How many of these books do we have to give away?
Five.
Okay.
This may go quick.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll cut a bunch of these out. We'll get to the harder ones.
All right. My first question. Wait, we're in order of handsomeness. Go ahead, Craig.
No, I think you had it right the first time.
Ask your question.
All right, Vinny. I've actually I've got all music questions.
Okay.
Should I go Seattle Scene? Duh. Or 80s hair metal?
Ooh, 80s hair metal.
Okay. Question. Who was the LA area musician that played guitar in Guns N' Roses before Slash?
The LA area musician who played guitar in Guns N' Roses before Slash.
All I know is that I have a cousin who saw Guns N' Roses open for, I think, Motley Crue. And she never heard of them before. They're just the opening band at a show. And she said they were the worst act she ever saw in her life.
Wow.
I saw them open for Iron Maiden in 1988.
All right, we've got a caller here on the line. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from? Going once. Going twice. Fail. All right, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Ryan from Houston.
Ryan, what is the answer to Craig's question? The guitar player before Slash?
I'm just trying to answer Vinny's question.
Oh, man.
Well, you can do it now if you want to. There's no prize.
Sanders?
It was Deion Sanders. You win nothing, but...
That is the correct answer. Excellent, excellent try, my friend. All right, to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, it's Sammy from New Jersey.
Sammy, what is the answer to Craig's question, the guitar player before Slash?
Tracy Guns.
Correct, you are, sir.
Tracy Guns!
Of LA Guns fame?
Of LA Guns fame, that's correct, Vinny.
All right, Sammy, you are the winner. Email me, and you will get a prize pack.
Thank you very much.
All right, congratulations. What I'm
Make sure
is...
you include your phone number in the email.
That's right, that's right. All right, now it's my turn. You should know the answer if you watch ECW Hardcore Television. This is a hard question, I think. This man, who appeared on ECW Hardcore Television number 104, which we are reviewing tonight, by the way, trained the Sandman. If you think,
and would he admit to it?
You think you know the answer to this question? I want you to give me a call immediately. The phone is already ringing. I will be stunned if this man knows the answer already without consulting Wikipedia, but here we go. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from? Oh, he gave up. Let's try this guy. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Yeah, this is Rob McCarron.
Rob McCarron, do you know the man on ECW Hardcore Television number 104 who trained the Sandman?
I will go with J.T. Smith.
J.T. Smith. I'm afraid that that is incorrect. Incorrect.
Sad.
I'm sorry, Rob, but a fine job on the Raw report.
Quite the buzzer.
Thank you so much.
All right. I'll give you another chance if you call back with another one. All right. To the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Adam from Detroit.
Adam. Normally, we would go to another question because Rob got it wrong, but I'll give you a chance to answer the question. This man who appeared on ECW Hardcore Television 104 trained the Sandman.
Trained the Sandman? Larry Winters, right?
Boom! Excellent, excellent job. What was your name again?
Adam.
Adam. Well, yep. Adam, you are our third winner. We're busting through these books. I want you to email me at brian@wrestlingobserver.com and make sure you give me the number you're calling from, and we will get a prize pack out to you. Congratulations.
You got it. Thanks, man.
All right. Thanks so much, Adam. I got so many things going on here, I didn't have time to do this. There we go. Three winners so far.
Man.
You better go to a hard one, Vinny.
I will skip to the end here.
Okay, go ahead.
Probably the hardest one. You would only know this as a fact if you'd actually seen one episode of one show. This is Deion Sanders trivia. Who is Deion Sanders' favorite wrestler? And I will give you a hint. He grew up in Florida in the 1970s.
Huh.
I only know this because he mentioned it one time on NFL Rewind, whatever their highlight show is.
Rewind, probably. All right. If you know who Deion Sanders' favorite wrestler is, growing up in the 70s in Florida, give us a call at 855-478-4478. Will anyone get this correct?
I don't know.
Somebody is calling. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Travis from Minnesota.
Travis, who is Deion Sanders' favorite wrestler?
I'm going to guess Dusty Rhodes.
It is, in fact, the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes.
Wow. That was your hardest question?
Maybe. Try another one?
This should have been the easiest question. Well, hey, you win.
Well, I give a hint.
That is true. What's your name again, caller?
Travis.
Travis, you are our fourth winner here tonight. So email me with your phone number, and we will get a prize pack out to you.
I would also have accepted Thunderbolt Patterson.
You would also have accepted Thunderbolt Patterson?
You mentioned those two guys.
Excellent job. Good job, Travis.
All right, thanks.
Thanks so much for the call. Man, people thought this was going to be a failure. It's actually a little too successful. I may not even get to my last question. All right, Craig, go for it.
Go do a Seattle one.
All right. Name the Seattle band formed in 1984 that featured Pearl Jam's Jeff Emmett and Stone Gossard, as well as Mudhoney's Mark Arm.
Read that one more time.
Name the Seattle band formed in 1984 that featured Pearl Jam's Jeff Emmett and Stone Gossard, as well as Mudhoney's Mark Arm.
All right. If you think you know that Seattle trivia answer, give us a call at 855-478-4478. Already a caller on the line. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Jason from Lexington, Kentucky.
Jason, do you think you know the answer to Craig's question?
I do. It's Green River.
That a boy.
Wow. Jason, you are the fifth and final winner. Congratulations, my friend.
Woo! Thanks very much.
All right. Email me with your phone number, and we'll get a prize pack out to you.
Awesome. Thanks very much.
Thanks so much. God damn. Well, that was quick.
Well, ask your hardest question anyway.
How long did that go? I did. It was.
What's the easiest question you had?
All right. Let me give away a couple of, what's up, Craig?
Nothing. I bumped a piece of equipment. I was waiting for the wrath of Brian.
No, I was ranting. Let's give away a couple of, what other prizes could I give away? What else do I have here?
I got some shirts left.
You have some figure four shirts?
Yeah.
You want to give a figure four shirt away?
I've only got big boy sizes left.
How big is big boy?
My size and up.
Christ. No. All right. If you're you're a 10XL.
2, 3, and 4, actually.
2, 3, and 4XL. All right. Craig is going to give away a shirt. So I will ask a question here. Should I ask the easiest one?
Doesn't matter to me.
All right.
I want you mentioned one that you would cancel the subscription if they didn't get it. I want to hear what this question is.
Okay. So people are already calling because they know how easy it is. I should X them out until I ask the question. Vinny and I, it's actually a two-part question. Vinny and I climbed this famous structure in the 12th grade. Everybody knows the answer to this, right?
It's the
Eiffel Tower.
Yeah.
Okay. So the question is...
Oh, okay.
The question is, Vinny and I have never climbed this famous structure together.
The Mountain of Success?
If you think you know the answer, give me a call at 855-478-4478. This guy's already calling, so he better have the answer when I pick it up. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Red Machine D. I'm calling from Phoenix.
A Red Machine in Phoenix?
Yeah, and you know what? I'm going to guess, based on what limited knowledge I have after going to grad school and the proximity to Seattle, I'm going to guess the Space Needle.
Vinny, have we ever climbed the Space Needle together?
I don't think you can climb the Space Needle.
You're the winner! Red Beast!
Could also go with the Pyramids of Giza.
You could have said the fucking moon. You could have said a tree in my backyard. You could have said anything you wanted.
A lot of things we have not climbed.
That's right. You win. Red Machine in Phoenix. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
All right. Red Machine, I want you to email me, brian@wrestlingobserver.com. Make sure you include your phone number. And Craig is going to get... I hope you're a big boy.
Oh, you have not seen my video. I am fat as the day is long.
Excellent. Excellent. All right, my man. Congratulations. All right. Very good. Red Machine, a big boy, won that shirt.
You betcha.
You got anything you want to give away, Vinny?
No, I'm good, man.
What a cheap fucker. All right, I'll give away $5 via PayPal to whoever wins, whoever answers the final question. And I think it's Vinny's turn. Is that correct?
You want to do another question?
Yeah.
I think I just erased them all.
Oh, shit. Make one up, you idiot. Just ask a fucking question.
All right. Hang on.
I've got a bunch more.
Let's go with Craig.
All right, Craig, you can do it.
Okay, here's a really hard one. Okay. The band Slaughter back in the 80s. Remember these guys, Vinny?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Slaughter.
Did they give it to you good?
No, that's Trickster.
No, my bad. What does Slaughter do? Up All Night?
Yes, All Night. Okay, Mark Slaughter. Pretty boy Mark Slaughter. He was the lead singer for an ex-KISS guitar player's band. Name that band.
One more time.
Mark Slaughter was the lead singer for an ex-KISS guitar player's band. Name that band.
All right, if you know the answer... $5 is on the line. $5 in PayPal funds. Let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Do you know the answer to Craig's question? Going once.
On your question. What is Craig's question?
Craig, read your question again. He was not listening.
One more time. Mark Slaughter was the lead singer for this ex-KISS guitar player's band. What is that band's
dog?
Name? That is incorrect, sir.
Oh, man. Sorry, buddy. Nice try. Craig, what's the answer?
You got a line ring.
No, we got to go to another question.
The Vinnie Vincent Invasion.
Really?
Yes, sir.
The Vinnie V Invasion?
The Vinnie Vincent Invasion.
Holy shit.
You know, I have heard of that band, and I never actually listened to their music.
How
I don't know why.
About that?
It's
fine. It has Mark Slaughter and which guess? Vinnie Vincent?
Vinnie Vincent.
Oh, yeah.
All right, new question. So if you're calling, you may want to hang up if you think you're going to get the wrong answer. I've got one here. Also, from ECW Hardcore Television number 104, not only is it a trivia question, but Joey Styles in 1995 or whatever year this was, he in fact stated it would one day be a trivia question.
Oh.
He saw the future.
How about that?
Who was the first man to allegedly use a frying pan as a weapon in the ECW arena? If you think you know the answer, 855-478-4478. Who was the first man to allegedly use a frying pan in the ECW arena? We got a caller on the line. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Scarlet Lover.
Scarlet Lover, you better know the answer, dude.
I will try. the only time I've ever seen anyone at ECW use a frying pan was Sandman, so I'm going to go Sandman.
Oh, man. If only I'd had redhead trivia, you'd have won. But unfortunately, you failed. Nice try, Scarlet Lover. All right, back to the phones. You are on the air. Go ahead. Who do you think was the first man to use a frying pan? I screwed up my own gimmick. Oh, he hung up. Good.
There you go.
All right, the answer is Tommy Dreamer.
That is correct.
Tommy Dreamer. All right, you want to ask a question, Vinny?
All right.
I never thought the last one would be so goddamn hard.
I thought we gave them all out.
He's going to
his phone. We were, but then I promised one more, a $5 prize, and now no one can get any of them right. Go ahead.
What is the last digit of my phone number? Jeez.
Wow. The last digit of your phone number.
Sure.
All right. If you think you know the last digit of Vinny's phone number, you've got a 1 in 10 chance to win $5.
Right. Race to the phones.
Race to the phones. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Phil calling from Connecticut. I'm going to guess 8.
Hit the buzzer sound, Brian.
Oh, shit. I forgot your phone number. I'm sorry, my man. Good
nice
guess.
Nice try.
Good guess. What's the last number, Vinny?
It's a 7.
All right. If you can guess the other 6 digits of Vinny's phone number.
I won't take my chances.
No. God damn it. All right. One more.
I got it.
Okay.
All right.
Because I was about to give my second easiest question.
Okay. I got an easy one. Remember the band Winger?
Sure do.
Okay. Kip Winger got his first taste of success playing bass for what famous shock rocker?
Wow. Who did Kip Winger play bass for? A shock rocker. Already got the phones ringing. Hope this guy heard the question. Oh, nope, you hung up. I thought this was an easy question.
It is.
All right, everybody. If you can guess what city I was born in or the shock rocker or whatever the question is, you're going to win. If you answer the phone, you are a winner. You're on the air. Who is this? Hello. You're on the air.
We hear you. We hear you listening to us. We know you are there.
Oh, man. He fucked that up. He could have said anything. All right, you are on the air. Who's this and where are you calling from?
Yeah, it's Rick from Napanee, Ontario.
All right, Rick. What is the answer? Either the city I live in or the band that Kip Winger played in for some shock jock or rocker?
You live in Woodinville, Washington.
Yeah! God damn it, that's wrong! I don't live
Close
in Woodinville!
Enough.
I live
Close
in
enough.
Bothell!
I don't care about the stupid trivia contest anymore.
What's your name?
Richard Fournier.
Rich, you win!
Yay!
All right.
You win by getting the question answer wrong.
What's the band? Craig,
oh, that's
the
even better.
Was?
What was the answer, Craig?
Alice Cooper.
It was Alice Cooper.
Alex Cooper.
Alice.
Alice Cooper.
My God.
Yay! All right. Hey, email me with your phone number and you get a prize. $5 via PayPal.
Thanks a lot, guys.
All right. Thanks so much for the call. All right, I'm done with this contest.
You don't say.
I've looked up the track listing here on the one album the Vinnie Vincent Invasion had. I just want to read a few of these off to you. I Want to Be Your Victim.
That's right.
Do You Want to Make Love?
Yes.
And my favorite classic 1980s subtlety here, Shoot You Full of Love.
Wow.
That's right.
Wow. How about that?
Uh-huh.
Hell, that was fun.
Sure.
I hope that was an acceptable payoff for a week of promotion. Oh, man. Now what?
I always love...
Oh, let's just go home.
This is what I miss most about doing live shows. We'll be talking about whatever, and there's 100 tweets, and 99 of them are relevant. And then some guy just asks a random question.
What was his question?
It involves the Donahue Show.
What? Yeah.
Just saw the Donahue McMahon and Meltzer pick. Why did Dave, Vince, and everyone do the Donahue Show?
Well, mailbag at WrestlingObserver.com. I'm sure Dave will be happy to talk about that tomorrow. All right. Well, listen, let's play a quick song, and then we will get on with our reviews tonight. My big congratulations to all the winners. By the way, who was the last caller? I forgot already. Anybody remember?
Oh, dude.
Some guy from Ontario.
I'll remember. I got it on tape.
That's right. We have proof.
But congratulations to Ryan, Sammy, Adam, Travis, Jason, and Red Machine, as well as the last caller who won by getting the answer wrong. You're all winners in my book. All of you. All of you listening to this right now are winners in my book. We'll have to do this again sometime. Right?
Must we?
Yeah. Let's play a quick song. Frenemies. Frenemy.
I would think that like a friend and an enemy are like mutually exclusive. I don't think that that's a word.
Well, it is. We'll talk about frenemies tonight. All right, Vinny, let's start with Raw, and we will main event with ECW Hardcore Television number 104 from the WWE Network.
Raw opened with John Cena coming out for a promo. He plugged the network. He plugged the four-way, the pay-per-view. Roman Reigns interrupted to a big ovation. They were in Virginia, and they had a great crowd. This crowd loved them some wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
So Cena thanked Roman for saving his ass last week. He knew it was going to be every man for himself at the pay-per-view, but tonight they were partners, and they had to work together. At this point, Roman, as is his gimmick, said, "Get to the point." And as is the company's gimmick, the guy did not get to the point. They talked for a while. They said they could take out Kane and Orton and then settle things amongst themselves. Talking shit back and forth. When finally Dean Ambrose appeared on the big screen, he said they were in a six-man tonight and they had to work together, which was what they were saying anyway, so I don't know why you bothered. And then Kane and Rollins and Orton appeared there and they beat him up for a long-ass time. I don't know where the hell Reigns and Cena were.
They were in the ring.
They had plenty of time.
They weren't doing nothing.
This beating went on for a while. And eventually, they hit a choke slam onto a crate, and then a curb stomp onto another crate, and that was that.
You know what was the stupidest thing about this? If you watch Impact, they always have these backstage beatings that just go too long. They just go forever, right? Mm-hmm. But when you watch Raw, it's usually they go in, they shoot the thing, and they get out quick. So the one time that they decide to go long, it's the one time you wouldn't want to go long because you made Ambrose look like a geek with no friends. You made Roman Reigns and John Cena look like complete dicks. And it was just like, where are these guys? Like, I wish I would be in the crowd just watching the ring while they watch the big screen as this dude gets beat up for 5 minutes. And apparently they just stood there. Yeah, this was no good. Although I did like Dean saying, "Is that all you got?"
Yeah, he had enough time to take a choke slam, recover, catch his breath, ask if it was all they had, and then Seth climbed on something else and jumped on him. Still no Cena or Reigns.
Nope, never came and got him.
So they went to commercial. They came back. They announced that Ambrose had been taken to a medical facility. We got Sheamus versus The Miz. A match that apparently was so great they had to do a rematch on main event tonight.
You know what's funny is when The Miz beat Sheamus, I knew immediately that they were going to do a rematch on either the main event or on SmackDown, and Sheamus would get his win back.
Oh, there you go.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah. So, Sheamus had an inset promo vowing to kick Miz's head off. He lied. And then Miz came out and cut a promo about winning the IC title Battle Royal at the pay-per-view. And his goal tonight was to keep Sheamus's kick away from the Moneymaker, which is what they're calling his face.
In this promo, Maurice's ass.
I would pay more money for that than Miz's face, personally. Miz referred to his legion of fans I don't even know if it's a mistake, but he said it more than once.
Singular.
And finally, the greatest thing Miz has ever done, he announced that for the duration of this match, my face will be on the big screen, and they put it up there.
Oh, yeah.
That is brilliant. That is absolutely brilliant.
I like my idea of every time he gets hit, an X goes over his face.
On the screen?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, had a match. It was very long. It was so important that in the middle of the action, they aired a full screen graphic with a bunch of dudes in the Battle Royal. There was a hysterical spot where they were trying so hard to find the hard camera. Just doing spots in circles and spinning around, trying to figure out where to be, where they needed to be. And they finally got there, and they're doing the forearms and the ropes, and then they shot it with the camera on the floor anyway. That made me laugh. So this went on and on and on for a long time, and finally, Sheamus missed a bro kick in the corner, and Miz hit his schoolboy with a clean win. No, Miz is not the U.S. champion, nor will he get a title shot. So to recap, this match had two guys who are going to be fighting for the mid-card championship on Sunday. One of them is a mid-card champion right now, and this match did everything possible to make mid-card championships look irrelevant and useless.
Are we sure that his main event was not for the title?
I guess it might have been. That's possible. The point about burying mid-card championships here, that stands.
You know, somebody here noted that Alive, Cena and Reigns did in fact run to the back when Ambrose was attacked.
Hmm.
Which begs the question, A, why didn't they show that?
Sure.
And B, why didn't they rush in right after the heels left?
These are all valid points, Brian.
Would it be that hard?
Perhaps they were in another state putting the beating on.
I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah.
It's a big building.
It is a big building.
Yeah.
I would like to hear someone ask Cena, why did you not go save Ambrose, and just have him say, that was a pre-tape, dude. It was hours ago.
Sure.
Something. Something.
I'd accept that.
And by the way, the burial of the mid-card belts on this show, not just in this match, the burial of everything that was good at one time. Mm-hmm. Cesaro. There's a big list here.
Get me started on Cesaro. We'll...
Okay. I'm sorry, Vinny. Go ahead.
I forgive you. Rollins, Kane, and Orton were laughing about what they had done to Ambrose. Orton said, if we work together like this on Sunday, I'll be champion. Kane said, maybe I'll be champion. Hunter arrived and told him to work together, and Steph walked in, and they had a very disgusting makeout session.
I trust you. I love you.
She was impressed with the way he was wielding his power and ordering people around.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's so funny, Craig.
It came off as so forced.
I know this is not where they're going, but as soon as she walked in and said, I trust you,
yeah,
right. It was like, they're going to find Hunter in a broom closet with Lana. What are they going to do?
He's a pro wrestler. His wife doesn't trust him. Come on now.
Actually, of all the pro wrestlers in the world, I would trust Triple H more than anyone else to not screw around behind his wife's back.
This is fair. Vince will send big guys over to his house.
He has the most to lose, yes.
The most to lose. And it's not like he should be straying anyway.
No one should.
The size of them boobies.
Yeah. Your point is valid.
So.
Pig.
Dolph Ziggler wrestled Fandango. You know how we talk all the time about how Dolph needs to slow down?
I've given up, but yeah.
He had a hip toss here. He hit the hip toss and then ran across the ring to pull Fandango up after throwing him to the ground. Ran across the ring, pulled him back up to do another move, and then he missed the move. Does he know how stupid he looks?
Well,
obviously not.
He looked really stupid. So they're having this match, and then Fandango's music hits, and Layla and Summer begin dancing on the desk. This distracted both men, actually. And Fandango went for a schoolboy, but Dolph escaped and hit a fame asser for the win. And then the girls danced with Dolph. They began to pose with him, and they gave him a peck on the cheek. And they all left together, and the crowd was chanting yes. And all I could think was, this is going to be a strange angle to do on a PG show.
Well, I just presume they're going to do this with every Fandango opponent.
I see.
And they haven't been hooked up with Dolph.
Did you see the Twitter picture that was taken?
I did.
They had both Summer and Layla on each side of Dolph with their hand on his keister.
One for each cheek.
That's right. And yeah. I noticed Summer was cupping harder than Layla.
You know, I don't know
Why
if...
Why are you paying attention?
I don't know. I sometimes just wonder if, like, there's an agent that really just doesn't like Dolph. He just tells him, faster.
That makes the most sense to me, actually.
Punch faster in the corner. Make sure they can't count along. I don't know. Gares.
Yes.
I'm way over it now. I got other things to irrationally rant about.
On that note, any wacky product placement skit with Damian Sandow as a waiter on roller skates? Adam Rose and his crew arrived, and here's a sentence that I never thought I would type. for a wrestling newsletter or podcast. They began to argue over a cheese and bacon hot dog. And it ended with Sandow skidding into a wall and Rose eating the hot dog. Anything?
Craig's howling over there. I don't even know why.
I have too many jokes in my head right now.
Pick one.
No.
All right.
So the Usos came out for a match, but the Wyatts jumped them from behind, and they beat the champs up and laid them out with a double team slam, and the announcers didn't care. Oh, look! Random violence, assault, our champions have been laid waste to.
And my question is, who are the Usos going to face?
I've been wondering that for 24 hours.
They're the champions. Mm-hmm. They usually come out last.
No, not in WWE. It doesn't matter.
Okay, I know it doesn't matter, but they're supposed to come out last. There's nobody in the ring. I like to think it was Frankie Kazarian and Christopher Daniels.
I can't prove it was not.
Right.
I can prove it wasn't. They weren't there.
You don't know
you
that.
You have no proof.
I'm pretty sure they weren't
were
there.
Were you in the building?
Rye Baxel.
No.
No, no, they would fight the Dust Brothers.
I was just thinking it was supposed to be the Wyatts for the 9,000th time.
Well, yeah, that would
they have not wrestled enough to set up three matches on one show Sunday.
Yeah.
Jay here says, I'm pretty sure Adam Rose will win a major title soon.
What?
I'm pretty sure, Jay, that you are wrong.
Well, considering there's only one major title in the company, and John Cena has it, he ain't winning that.
I think it's his conclusion is because Adam Rose is such a geek, it only makes sense they make him a champion. Which is sound logic.
For the mid-card, yes.
I suppose. So, yeah, this violent assault happened, and the announcers just said, oh, look at that. Hey, later, Ric Flair's coming out. And also, this show's 50 minutes old, and I think it was the first time they mentioned Ric Flair. That seems like a bigger deal.
A bigger deal than a cheese and bacon hot dog?
They should have made a bigger deal out of it, yes. So we had the 47th network plug in the show. Of all the content on the WWE Network, of all the things they think people would pay money to watch, they went with Countdown.
Yeah.
All right.
Don't get me started on the network. Although I will note that when they showed a whole bunch of different clips of cool stuff that you could supposedly watch on the network, that included Vince's limo blowing up, a scene which, in fact, you cannot watch on the network because there's zero Raw from 2007 that you can go up and watch.
I bet if you poke around this on one of the countdowns.
Oh, I see.
Something like that.
You know what? I thought this commercial was actually pretty darn good.
Yeah, the commercials are good.
It was a fine commercial.
Yeah.
It's just what they chose to promote.
Now, the subsequent 40 minutes of rambling they did throughout this 3-hour show about the network could have done without.
There was a lot of it.
Oh, yeah.
I think they decided we've promoted it poorly for 3 months. Let's do 3 months worth of promotion in one show.
That may have been the idea.
I'm expecting a poor number coming up on around July 30th.
We then had the best thing easily on this show. Best thing in a long time. Lana and Rusev versus Jack Swagger and Zeb Coulter in a verbal debate. Had podiums out there, one with the Russian flag, one with the American flag.
A detente.
A detente is what they called it, but come on now, it's a verbal debate. So I have on this show, I've been critical of Lana is too strong, but I've said I'm tired of her doing the same thing every week.
I don't know what's wrong with you.
She did something different on this week, and she was so awesome. She made an opening statement in Russian. Everyone booed. Then she started speaking in English, saying Americans used violence to solve all their problems. Zeb just nodded. Lana said the fans were stupid, and America was stupid. She had a hearty laugh like the Joker. Then the crowd began to chant USA, and she fumed, and she sneered at them. She screamed at them to shut up. God, she was great.
You know, if I were married to Lana, I would piss her off every day. Like, all hours of the day, I would troll her. Mm-hmm. So I could get that mean look.
Yeah, you're into that?
This is just awesome.
Yeah.
She's got such a great, mean look.
You like latex, too?
What's your point?
Nothing.
She's not wearing latex. She's never worn latex. She wears short skirts.
Okay.
I didn't say I wanted to kick my ass. I just said I like her mean look.
I see.
My wife has told me that I'm cutest when I am annoyed, and thus she does, in fact, go out of
her
way.
No wonder she married you.
Yeah, she goes out of her way to annoy
you 24/7.
Well, that's true, yeah.
Have you ever not been cute?
Well, no. When you put it that way, the answer is no. Anyway, so Lana explained she was here to talk to a stupid American, and she asked Zeb and Swagger Oh, she said Americans have been stupid enough to fight a civil war while Russia had always been a peace-loving country. She asked Zeb and Swagger to admit their country's mistakes and apologize. And Zeb started talking about fighting in Vietnam, taking a vow to protect the U.S. against all enemies. Now they want him to apologize? She was appalled at his refusal. Said he should follow the example of Putin. Zeb said, here in this country, we have a president, and like him or not, we always honor the presidency. And finally, he said, let's put a stop to all this. Rusev, stop hiding behind your woman and accept Swagger's challenge to a match at Battleground. And Rusev ranted in Bulgarian for a while and then declared, this is war. He started to leave. Then Lana slapped Zeb. A brawl broke out. Swagger got on top of Rusev and he was in dominant position. But then Lana raked his eyes. Rusev took him apart until he tried the jumping super kick. And Swagger caught the foot in the ankle lock. And Rusev was able to grab the ropes and drag himself to safety. And Zeb was waving the flag. And the crowd were chanting USA. This was a perfect pro wrestling segment.
10 stars.
There's no conceivable way it could have gone any better.
No, it's impossible. The idea that Swagger takes out Rusev and big, scary Rusev has to be saved by a 120-pound girl. So awesome. She yanks Swagger off by the hair. And then he goes for the super kick and the ankle lock is right there. God damn, this was great.
This was pretty tremendous.
Best.
Oh, yeah. The best thing on the show by far. And then not to mention, look where Jack Swagger was. Oh, I don't know, 3 weeks ago?
Yes.
It's the easiest angle in the world,
though. Really is.
It's the easiest angle in the world.
I'm surprised they haven't screwed it up yet.
It's kind of
shocking. That's why sometimes when like somebody tries to do something wacky in wrestling, like let's do a complete swerve and let's do this or that. Let's do something that's never been done. It's like, quit wasting your fucking time. Just do something that always works. This would have worked 1,000 years. This would work 5,000 years ago with two tribes. It'll work 2 million years from now if we're still on this planet. This will always work.
There's a feature on the website, at least there was a week or two ago. It's people posing with pictures of themselves from 5, 6 years ago. And Swagger's talking about when he made his debut. He debuted right about the same time Kurt Angle left. And fair or not, people tried to make comparisons between the two and thought Swagger was there to fill the same spot. It is amazing that this is the first time they've actually tried Jack Swagger, American Hero.
Yeah. And he's got a perfect opponent.
He's got a perfect opponent for it.
Unfortunately, he's lost in 10 seconds on house shows all weekend.
Well, yeah. Oh,
I hope they don't do that. Actually, I don't know what I want to see at the pay-per-view because...
I want to see a fight.
Well...
These guys would have a fun fight.
It better be a 4-minute fight. A
slobber knocker.
I do not want to see Rusev in any more 12-minute matches.
By the way, many people have alerted us that it was supposed to be the Usos against Slater and Titus O'Neil.
Heaterade.
There is a promo on the app with Heath and Titus upset about this.
I see. Well, that just makes all kinds of sense now, doesn't it?
Why not?
Cena tried to have a meeting with Reigns backstage. Roman didn't want to talk. Rob Van Dam versus Alberto Del Rio. They worked hard. Had a fun little TV match. And then Rob tried to frog splash, and Del Rio got the knees up and put the armbar on for the win, and then he posed with the IC belt.
The disdain on Alberto's face when he's wrestling Rob Van Dam.
They can never have a match without fucking something up.
He is so angry at this man, like most of the match. Watch his face when the next time they wrestle, which will be soon.
Watch him wrestle.
They
whiffed a kick so bad.
Oh, yeah.
It's like every time they have a match, something has to go terribly wrong.
Something goes wrong, and I think, I wouldn't say Alberto was taking liberties, but I think he was laying it in.
He may as well, because Rob's going to lay it in without even meaning
right.
to.
Yes. Latest network plug is that, in fact, I can verify this is true. If you buy the network, you can see CM Punk.
But you can't say his name.
Did they not know?
No,
the announcers were forbidden to say the name CM Punk.
And we're watching him right now.
Okay, yeah. I need to go back and watch this promo again because I didn't realize that.
Yep. They mention it on the actual video, but when they introduce it and when they come out of the video, there's absolutely no mention of CM Punk's name. They are trying to sell the network with a guy that they refuse to even mention his name. By the way, I forgot to mention, since we're live... At this exact moment, Mr. Phil Brooks is a free agent.
His
contract expired the moment we went on the air.
Nice.
So I guess technically he could call in if he wanted to. I wouldn't hold my breath.
I would pee.
But anyway, yeah.
I would not pee.
Right here in this chair.
I'd be very surprised.
Then, Punk, if you're listening, do not call in. I do not want Craig peeing.
This is my chair. It's
on his chair.
It's his carpet.
Actually, it is your chair. I keep forgetting that because I have the same chair.
It's my chair. I can pee on it if I want.
No, you can't.
All right, I've had it.
You take it outside and pee on it.
What a show we do. What a show. Nikki Bella came out to face a mystery opponent.
He's not calling.
He showed Craig's checking the phone eagerly. Ooh, a wrestler might call. Ooh. Nikki Bella versus a mystery opponent.
Guaranteed someone's going to call any second now.
Stephanie came out, and here was the point I noticed. Man, these women have large fake breasts. Both of them. So she said...
Took that long?
Well, it was very clear, just looking at the two of them. So Stephanie said that Brie abandoned you, so you have to wrestle alone, and it's all her fault. Be mad at her. So it was Nikki versus Cameron and Alicia. It was mostly Nikki getting beat up, and then she made a comeback, but Alicia hit what I described as a wacky fame-asser-like move.
I think Dave tried to explain that it was MVP's afterdrive, or overdrive.
Playmaker, right?
No, something different.
Okay.
Anyway, she screwed it up.
Yeah.
That's a much better solution.
I described it as a move I could not accurately identify.
It's not screwed up. It's modified.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What could we call it?
What are you thinking about that? The air of the Sting commercial for the video game.
The Foxed Up?
The Foxtrot.
You Foxed Up?
Oh, there we go.
There we go.
So yeah, Sting's in the video game. Pretty creative commercial. And the best part about this, I thought, was that they actually aired the reaction of the live crowd, who were very excited to see Sting, even if it was just in a game.
Well, it was funny because I talked to somebody in WWE, and they were unaware that they had piped in the crowd noise over the video. So you could hear the people booing at the end of it. Because to the live crowd,
yes,
they had no idea it was a video game commercial.
Until the end.
Until the very end. And then they got pissed off and they started booing.
Yeah.
So it probably would have been best to kill the crowd noise after Sting's appearance before they had a chance to turn on this. But goddamn, I thought this commercial was awesome. I watched this commercial like 10 times. $200,000. Yeah.
That's a full orchestra they hired or a full group.
And in hindsight, I have absolutely no idea why.
Yeah.
You know, they sent out I presume there are more videos, but they had sent out a casting call for a 260-pound ripped bodybuilder.
Yeah, I remember this.
To play Sting.
I remember this news.
So if you watch the commercial, you don't see any 260-pound ripped bodybuilder. It could have been anybody.
Including Sting.
It could have been anybody in that outfit. So today somebody emailed me and they said, well, you know, the bodybuilder may not have been used in the commercial, but he was a stand-in for Sting. And I was like, why did you need a 260-pound ripped guy to be a stand-in?
In a trench
Can't
coat.
Can't just get any goofball to stand there with a trench coat on? What does he have to be all jacked up for?
Maybe they want him to look like his character on the video game.
You only saw him in shadow.
Yeah. I presume that they made a series of commercials, would be my guess. In one of them, you will see a jacked up Sting.
There's some strangeness to this. Hunter met with Randy backstage. Hunter assured Orton that Kane was a pawn. He was their pawn. He would stick to their plan. Orton wanted assurance there would be no plan B. And Hunter said, sure.
Yep.
Goldust and Stardust were wacky backstage.
Vinny's over it.
I don't even know what to say. Part of it is my wife has an amazing habit of walking in at the exact moment these two are on screen. And she just shakes her head. And I don't know what to say.
Yeah. My
probably
wife
hears the music and thinks Pearl Jam. Or not Pearl Jam.
Ziggy Stardust?
No. Pink Floyd is on the screen.
Okay.
They have a song very much like this.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's it called?
I don't remember.
All right.
But I had the album when I was like 18.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually had a Pink Floyd album.
Which one?
I don't remember. Something Bell?
Division Bell.
Division Bell.
It's great.
There's a song on Division Bell that is exactly like these guys' ring music. Hopefully somebody will tweet the song here momentarily.
My wife always walks in when the girls are wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he gets disgusted and leaves. And I join her.
You leave?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
All right. Cesaro versus Big E. There's no Paul Heyman with Cesaro, and the announcers pointed this out. Cesaro is still the, he's a great worker and an important part of the roster. You can tell from the booking, but he is still kind of an indie guy, and sometimes he'll just bust up moves for no reason. Like here he had a Tiger Driver.
Sure.
And there's nothing wrong with it, but if you like moves, I think Cesaro is going to be your favorite WWE wrestler right about now. So eventually Cesaro got pissed and he grabbed a chair, but Kofi Kingston pulled it away, and then Big E won with a big ending. And Greg, do you have anything to say about that?
Okay, first off, why didn't the announcers know where Heyman was? I think he got fired. I heard he quit.
I have no idea.
What was that all about?
No one seems to know. I don't know.
Okay, if that wasn't distracting enough, then Cesaro, for the third week in a row, ends up losing on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
And supposedly, he's going to win the Battle Royal this weekend.
Yes.
Well, that'll make up for everything.
That's how they book nowadays, Craig. Where have you been?
This is dumb.
Where have you been?
Why not push him like the monster that he is?
They don't do that no more.
And then make the title mean something.
They don't do that anymore, Craig.
They don't make the title mean anything.
No.
They don't.
Haven't done this for years. Where have you been?
I know where I've been. I want to fix it.
Dude, join the Who Cares Club. Because
apathy is the answer, Craig.
If you get pissed off about it, you're just going to rant about it every single day because they're going to do it on every single show. They're never going to make those belts mean anything. Not in the foreseeable future. Maybe if Vince McMahon falls off a cliff and Triple H takes over, he'll unify those two belts and he'll have one main title and one secondary title. The main title will be for the main eventer. The secondary title will be for the secondary guy because that's what Hunter grew up with. But until that day comes, you may as well just forget about it.
I just long for the days of the Intercontinental belts.
Hey, watch 97 Raw on the network.
There you go.
Oh, wait, you can't.
Oh, wait.
Don't get me started. By the way, speaking of wives walking into the room, my wife never walks in during anything embarrassing. Maybe because it's all embarrassing. But she always walks in for like a very brief period of time. And she never watches the show. But whenever she watches for like 30 seconds, somehow she remembers. So she'll walk in, for example, during the Rusev, Lana, Jack Swagger segment. And she'll sit down for 30 seconds and she'll watch it for 30 seconds. And first she'll say, oh, there's your favorite girl.
Attaboy.
I'll be like, what are you talking about? Just because she's blonde?
And athletic.
And then she'll say, I thought that guy was a bad guy. Mm-hmm. And I'll say, he was. And she will look at the TV for about 5 seconds, and then she'll turn to me and she'll go, I don't get it.
Right.
And she'll leave. That is the story of my life. I don't get it. And then she leaves.
All right. Chris Jericho came out for a promo. I believe he's wearing Batista's jeans. He began to list all the things he had seen and done in his career, pausing to challenge Bob Barker to one more fight.
Yeah.
Started to talk about getting crazy when Bray Wyatt appeared on the screen. Bray Wyatt, as usual, rambled on with gobbledygook. Fans chanted boring. Finally, the lights went out and the Giants appeared in the ring. And Jericho was able to escape them, but then Bray ambushed him on the stage and they lead him out with Sister Abigail, and that was that.
Almost fell out of his trousers.
That'd be very difficult. They were very tight.
They were very tight, but they were low riders.
I see.
Mm.
And he's getting that flat ass that you get when you're older. Right, Craig?
Sure.
You got the flattest ass I've ever seen.
I have the back that makes a crack, yes.
What?
Yeah. I don't have a backside. I can barely keep my jeans there. Good thing I'm my big... Never mind.
Go ahead.
No.
That's how it holds them up?
Yeah.
Your dong? Bullshit. That is a lie.
Don't make me drop it on the table here.
You've already threatened to pee on that chair. Have you not? Has he not? It's being talked about on Twitter.
People are encouraging CM Punk to call.
I know. It's awesome.
I still don't think it's going to happen.
Poor Emerson here says, I argued that wrestling was not stupid with my aunt once, and 10 minutes later, Kurt Angle was wearing a small cowboy hat.
We were at that show. That was in Seattle.
Yeah?
Yippee-ki-yay.
Scarlet Lover says, what did your wife think of Santino's retirement? Very sad. Very sad.
Forgot about the segment of the CM Punk documentary where they're just at Comic Con looking at comic geeks. There's a long segment of just people in costumes.
Yeah.
Okay. Eva Marie versus AJ with Paige on commentary. Said Paige was getting a rematch at the pay-per-view. I realize the champion always gets a rematch, and she hasn't gotten hers yet, but when you think about this, what has Paige done to get a title shot?
She's the ex-champion.
Yeah, that's the end of the list.
Yeah, well, that's the only thing that matters. You get an automatic rematch when you're beaten and you lose the title.
Yeah, so...
it's the least of our problems, Vinny.
Eva Marie...
what is Eva Marie doing in the ring?
I don't know. She was trying to do arm ringers, which apparently is a very complicated move, and she finally figured it out, and she was so proud. She ringed this girl's arm. Like she had solved a great riddle.
Like it's one of those metal puzzles that you have to disconnect.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I spun the right way.
Yes. And she threw her hand in the air, like smiled, and then I remembered, oh, wait, I'm supposed to hold her tight. God, she's bad. So AJ went with the Black Widow. And then she went over to the announce desk, and AJ and Paige had a chat.
Yes.
And I mean that literally. Talked about how cute their hair was. It's nice to see you. Okay, bye.
Yeah. They're frenemies.
They are. That's what Paige said. They are frenemies.
Mostly friends.
Yeah.
It makes me so sad because I think Eva Marie is so hot. I think she's like the hottest chick on here.
Well, I know that you're too highfalutin to Google her.
And she's
But you
so
should
bad.
Google her with her dark hair.
I actually have seen her in her dark hair.
This red hair is devastating to me.
Really?
Oh, God.
Well, no, I think it's hot.
Have you seen her with dark hair, Vinny?
I'll right now.
Stunning.
Have you seen, Craig, the video on the website where she recites other people's catchphrases?
No.
It's just what it sounds like. It's Eva Marie saying things like, best there is, best there was, best there ever will be.
Excellent.
And that's the bottom line. Mm. And damn.
What the hell?
Huh.
Is this Eva Marie makes everything hot?
I believe that's it, yes.
Play. All right. Let's hear some of it.
Might
here.
Might have a moment.
After this advertisement plays, can Eva Marie make everything hot? Let's find out.
The best there is, the best there was.
I'm the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
You don't know what hard times are, Daddy.
You don't know what hard times are.
Oh.
Daddy.
I think I might.
Craig. Do I have to shut this off already?
Can I get a hell yeah?
What?
What?
Styling, profiling.
Woo. For the benefit of those with flash photography, here's a 5-second pose.
5 seconds too long for Craig. All right, let's continue on here. Why don't you just do that every week instead of wrestling?
That's much better.
My God, I mean...
I like her with the red hair better, by the way.
You really have to have these lovely ladies wrestle? You can't find some non-wrestling role to them?
They've got a thing for Renee.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Hunter and Steph had a meeting backstage when Kane arrived. Kane said he did not like or trust Orton. Hunter and Steph said, we work with people we don't like all the time. Just do whatever you have to do on Sunday to bring the belt back under our control.
To Daddy.
Yeah. Bo Dallas came out, issued an open challenge. Talked about fighting Torito and said Torito was small, but his heart was huge. And he hoped his opponent tonight had a big heart, too.
What happened here?
The network has frozen on sad Michael Hayes.
What happened?
Bryce Network stream is having a lot of issues tonight.
It's been bad.
Yeah. So it was Bo Dallas versus the Great Khali. Did what they could, which with Khali these days is nothing. Bo hit a bunch of chops. Khali refused to sell, so Bo scolded him and called him a bad giant.
That's true.
He is a giant and he is bad. And finally, Bo hit a dropkick on the floor and kind of sort of hit a Bodog from the apron of the floor. He rolled inside to win by countout. Then he tried to give Kali a pep talk, but Kali laid him out with a chop, and that was that.
I always love a match where I just can't figure out why they couldn't have a winner. You really couldn't have Bo Dallas pin the Great Khali. I guess that is.
He won.
It's better for his gimmick.
He beat him up so bad he couldn't even get in the ring.
So pin him.
He was out. You can't pin him outside. He was laid out and defeated, but he was dead weight, and Bo couldn't get the giant back in the ring.
Fine, fine.
There are cheap wins to complain about. This is not one of them.
Fine, fine.
Hunter and Steph assured Rollins that they knew what Plan B was. Then Rollins left, and Heyman walked in and said, hey, your plan B is cool. I hope that works out for you, but if you want any plan C, give me a call.
You know, I love, by the way, before this, there was a Best of Nitro commercial for the network, because it was the end of the free week. The free week ended at midnight.
Right.
So they honest to God thought that they were going to plug this fucking network for 3 straight hours.
Uh-huh.
And a large number of people were going to go spend all the time to sign up for free so that they could get 50 minutes of programming before it shut off on them.
Right.
Huh. Maybe they should have thought about this last week when the free week started.
Renee Young came out to interview Ric Flair. They were very, besides being great at her job, Renee is also a girl, and thus was the perfect interviewer for Flair.
Wrong.
You didn't think so?
You forgot everything you were supposed to say and just drooled all over.
Great. Nothing he was supposed to say could have been more entertaining than what happened.
All right.
He reminded her they were in Virginia. Virginia is for lovers. He was the greatest lover alive. And as he began to strut around the ring, he told her, you don't have to move. I'll just walk around you. They didn't Ric Flair to just do predictions every show. So they said, who's your prediction in the four-way? And he put everyone in the match over as only he can. And finally, he predicted Cena would win. And then Reigns came out. They had a brief stare down, but then Flair shook his hands. And he left. They met with Cena on top of the stage. And Cena presented him with the big gold belt and then went down to the ring.
For all of you wondering, as far as I know, they're not getting rid of that belt.
Okay.
Flair tried to give it back, and Cena was like, no, hold on to it.
Yeah.
He was not Flair doesn't have a big gold belt. Probably has 20 of them.
Yes. So the main event was Cena and Reigns in a handicap match against Orton and Kane and Seth Rollins. It was a very basic formula tag match, but this crowd just went ballistic for everything. So good on them. So they got the hot tag to Cena. He went nuts and killed everybody. Then they cut him off. Got a hot tag to Roman. It was not quite as hot as the Cena hot tag. Somewhere in here, Rollins sold his knee and disappeared in a spot that I'm sure by now you all know was the work. And then Orton and Kane just said, fuck this, and started double-teaming Reigns until the ref DQ'd them. And there's a lot of brawling. Kane knocked Orton off the apron. Cena in this brawl. I realize this is not news. It's 2014, he's doing this for a decade now, but I cringed watching these punches.
Oh, they were bad.
Oh my God.
They were very bad.
So, Reigns speared Cena, Orton RKO'd Kane, and then finally Reigns speared Orton, and the show ended with Reigns standing tall and the announcers pushing. If you watch the show on Sunday, you'll see Reigns win his first world title.
Oh, man.
He's not impressed.
Don't hold your breath, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
I do not think Roman Reigns is going to win his first world title on Sunday, but hey, I guess you never know.
Way too soon, right?
Well, I mean, they got a bunch of plans, and him being champion would screw many things up.
Right.
You really want to do Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam already? That would make no sense.
Yeah.
I mean, somehow they got to screw Reigns for the second show in a row,
right,
which did wonders for Mr. Daniel Bryan this past fall. But hopefully they have a better way to do it than they did with Daniel Bryan, which, given it's Roman Reigns, they'll figure something out.
Is Brock booked on the pay-per-view?
What, Sunday?
Yeah.
I don't think he'll be there Sunday, but I do think he'll be there Monday.
Okay.
Let's play a quick song, and then we'll do ECW, a favorite of mine here. 3-day excursion.
You're doomed.
I am determined to go for 3 days and see a Sasquatch. Come on, Vinny. Damn it. Of course, Richard is going to be the group leader, and he is very large.
Uh-oh.
In the wee hours of the morning, all of a sudden I hear...
Don't go, baby. It's scary.
You don't have to outrun Bigfoot. You just have to outrun everyone else.
This is going to be exciting, Vinny.
Bigfoot catches me and eats me.
Don't go, baby.
Numerous vocalizations.
No thanks.
I glow.
No thanks.
And late night camp visits.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Oh, no.
All these people are killing each other.
If I find Bigfoot, we will be famous. I love that song. Granny is so concerned. In hindsight, Vinny, you really should have gone on that trip.
Yes, I actually agree.
It was
I
awesome.
Made a incorrect decision.
All right, ECW Hardcore Television.
My goodness, what a show this was.
Tell me about it.
So it opened with Joey Styles claiming he was, of course, in Paul Heyman's basement. But he claimed to be live on set mere hours after the end of Hostile City Showdown. He did the opening credits. And then they showed clips from a different show entitled Three-Way Dance from April 8th, 1995. I should mention, for those of you who do pay attention to this, this episode we watched was number 104 from April 18th, 1995. So they cut to this other show. And Joey is interviewing Stevie Richards and Raven just on the floor next to the ring. Crowd is loudly chanting, fuck Sabu. So they came out, and of course, they had some horrendous, like, mellow surf rock generic music for these guys.
My God, the music.
I don't even know what it
is.
So the production values here were appalling. The lighting sucked. The audio was brutal. So they did this... bit. Stevie began to cut promos on two guys who I don't know. Eventually learned they were a tag team called the Broad Street Bullies.
Yes.
I presume one of these men is that fellow you mentioned who trained
Sandman. Tony Stetson and Larry Winters.
Yeah.
Former ECW champions.
Yes.
When it was Eastern Championship Wrestling.
Yeah. One of them, I don't know if it was Stetson or Winters, but he had an amazing bald spot mullet.
Fuck, speaking of mullets, Stevie
Richards. Stevie's mullet
was...
Amazing.
As I wrote here, Stevie's mullet was worth the price of the network.
I honest to God, looking back on the network, when you see Shawn Michaels' mullet, it's like nothing can top that. And then you look at Stevie Richards, and it's like, my God.
What a mullet.
He had like a...
It's incredible.
He had like a pompadour that went into a mullet.
Yes.
It was phenomenal. And his little Motley Crue tattoo on his arm.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So he vowed to make Raven proud. He did all the talking here. He said, I've got a new team for you. It's the Pit Bulls.
Yes.
Apparently, this is their company debut. I was alerted to this. I think I would have noticed anyway.
I noticed anyway because I noticed. I wasn't looking for it, but I noticed after it happened.
Bald Pit Bull, attempting to get into the ring, ran down and smashed his nose into the bottom rope.
Yep.
Oops. Well, hey.
God damn, this is funny.
Better than the Shockmaster.
It was. So... It got in there, and they had the squash, and they killed these dudes and pinned them with a super bomb. And then Raven and Richards and the Pit Bulls were all cutting a promo on the floor, and poor bald Pit Bull had blood pouring out of his nose.
I think he broke his nose.
I mean, he hit this rope hard. He was going full speed and dove into the ring, and I don't know if he forgot the rope was there. Maybe he thought there were only two ropes in the ECW ring. But if you were trying to hit... Dead on the bottom rope, you couldn't have hit it any harder and with truer aim. So they declare that Raven was their master, and Raven actually smiled and then pointed to the back. Then Stevie said, I have more. I have that girl you told me about when you went to summer camp with Dreamer. She's here tonight. And Raven was appalled. He backhanded Richards. How dare you bring that fat, overweight, disgusting girl to the ECW arena? That's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
As if there had never been a fat girl in the ECW arena before.
Actually, I'm not sure there had been ever a girl in the ECW arena at that point.
You put it that way. So, Stevie says she's not the same. And he brought up Beulah McGillicuddy. And Raven was unenthused at first, but out came Beulah. And, well, it's Beulah. She did have a strange preppy outfit on, and I don't know what was up with her hair.
Well, she was not an out-of-shape freak, I can tell you that
much. She was not disgusting and overweight.
No.
Fact, that is factual. So this all led to Tommy Dreamer and Raven.
We should mention that the Pitbulls destroyed the Broad Street Bullies in seconds with a middle rope powerbomb. This is how you debut a team.
Yeah.
You don't fuck around. They come in, they destroy the former champions in 2 minutes, and they're immediately over.
Emerson Whitner on Twitter says they were Jason's Pitbulls about a month before.
Okay. I see.
So they have been in the company. They were new with Raven. All right. So, Dreamer versus Raven. Dreamer was wrestling in a t-shirt over a singlet. He had not yet donned the track pants, and I hope he did soon after this. So they brawled through the crowd, used a bunch of weapons. Raven bled a lot, hit some relatively safe chair shots, went in the crowd again. Raven hit a flying hip attack from the apron into the post. There was a guy in the front row who had strapped to his chest a baby carrier. I pray to the Lord above there was not actually a baby in there.
He had a front pack?
Yeah.
Why the hell would he be wearing a front pack if there wasn't a baby in there?
Why would you take a baby to an ECW show?
You can put your beer in
there. You're not putting the kid in the ring.
It's an ECW show.
Well, he's hardcore.
So's the baby.
Yeah.
Baby shouldn't be hardcore.
No. Baby should
Thank
be
you,
cute.
Craig.
They should be cute, not hardcore.
Yes.
Well, I'm sure the baby was very cute.
Nobody wants a hardcore baby.
No.
So, they wrestled for a while. They went over by the crow's nest. Dreamer hit a splash off something and then picked Raven up and they brawled back to the ring. This is all very terrible.
You know,
if I'm making this sound exciting or entertaining, I apologize.
No.
This is horrific and lame.
But they had a great finish.
I thought. They finally got in the ring and began to do wrestling moves. Oh, yeah. So they hit pile drivers and DDTs and kicked out and just kept doing random crap. And then Stevie went to give Beulah a kiss. Actually, he gave her a big kiss. Beulah responded with a very fake slap, which in hindsight actually fits in.
Right.
Yes.
He began to choke her. Dreamer went out to make the save, but then Beulah sprayed Dreamer with hairspray. Stevie hit a super kick, and Raven followed with a DDT on the floor, all in one smooth spot. And they threw Dreamer inside and pinned him. Yes, it was a good finish.
Listen, first off, thing about this match was, what I've noticed from watching back these early ECW shows before like 96, 97, 98, 99, is they did hardcore matches, but it was fake hardcore wrestling. Mm-hmm. Like, Raven hit him with some chair shots that were like, I don't want to say they were like perfectly safe, because anytime you're getting hit in the head, like you shouldn't be hit in the head. But if you're going to hit a guy in the head with a chair, like Raven did the safest chair shots you can hit a guy with in the head. And they brawled outside, you know, they took worked bumps, they took worked shots, they took all these worked moves in the ring. The whole thing was, it was worked hardcore. And it wasn't until later, I don't want to necessarily completely blame Balls Mahoney, but there came a point where all of a sudden they decided, these smart fans, we've got to give them something real. They're not falling for this fake stuff anymore. So we got to hit each other harder. We got to use some real barbed wire. We got to really kick our own asses for these fans. Otherwise, they're not going to accept it. And that was their big mistake. Because back in the day, and this is how it should always be, when you're a wrestler, you're in charge. Not these fans. Mm-hmm. These fans aren't the ones in charge of the match. You're in charge of the match. You work the fans, not vice versa. And they fell into this trap where all of a sudden they had to give these fans more and more. They're doing these hard chair shots. They're killing each other, literally shortening their lives. Yes. And it's sad because I look back at the show here and, man, this crowd was going nuts for this stuff. Mm-hmm. And they weren't hitting each other very hard. They weren't really killing each other. They were doing fake hardcore wrestling and the people accepted it. And I don't know where it all went wrong. But we're going to see it here as we keep watching these shows. That's number one. Number two, Tommy Dreamer back in the day, handsome, fit man. That was his gimmick. Yo. His gimmick was that he was a handsome man who had to prove he was tough.
I specifically chose this one because we had watched 103 just a couple months ago. And I specifically chose this one so we could actually watch him in somewhat of a chronological order.
Sure.
And they did refer to Tommy Dreamer as the handsome one.
Yes.
On the last show.
He was a handsome young baby face.
Yes.
And my third thing is just the finish. Okay, I've seen so many god-awful fucking finishes on Raw where two guys are in the ring and like someone's dancing on a desk or video plays on the screen and a baby face gets completely distracted from a fucking physical fight and then he gets beaten and pinned. Yep. Looking like an absolute idiot. What did they do with this finish here? Well, the heels took advantage of the fact that it was a nice guy. Mm-hmm. They lied and they fucked with him. They put on a fake fight so that Tommy Dreamer, the babyface, he had no choice but to go try to save a girl from being choked. He was trying to do the right thing and be a nice guy, and they fucked him. Those are diabolical heels. Tommy Dreamer didn't look like an idiot. He looked like a nice guy that just got lied to, just betrayed. I thought this finish was awesome. And what a wacky choking that was. Stevie puts his hands on her neck and she goes, ugh.
That's great radio you're doing there, Brian.
Trust me, they could all see it in their heads.
Showed clips of Eddie Guerrero beating Too Cold Scorpio for the TV title. Only about a minute aired. Eddie won with a roll-up. Then Eddie cut a fiery promo backstage about how he was a second-generation wrestler and he's going to take on all comers for his championship. And if you only saw Eddie Guerrero cutting promos in WWE, he did, in fact, grow up in Texas and not Mexico.
Right.
He had a very American accent here, which I knew I'd seen before, but it had been a while and I kind of forgot.
He improved dramatically.
Well, it was it was also better in WWE. That is true.
Yes.
They showed clips of woman turning on Sandman and siding with Shane Douglas. And then Shane in his denim jacket and woman cut a promo. Craig is laughing, I guess, about the jacket.
A lot of ha-ha-ha's
yeah.
by Shane Douglas.
He's very...
I want you to recap this segment. I'll be Shane Douglas.
All right. So, So a woman vowed that if she was going to walk out of this match with the world champion, or she was going to strip naked... and hitchhike back to Fort Lauderdale.
That's his entire promo. It's like, what the fuck's so funny, dude?
All right.
It was one thing when like the heels come up with a diabolical plan and they all laugh. But Nancy's just cutting a promo. He's like, ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. St. Douglas. Am I wrong?
I don't he yes. So, this led to Shane Douglas with woman in his corner versus Sandman for the title at Hostile City Showdown on April 15th, 1995. So Douglas, say we will about him, he's a gifted athlete and a trained pro wrestler.
Yes.
So he hit a bunch of wrestling moves.
Yes.
And then Sandman went on offense.
Right.
Holy Lord.
That's the gimmick, though.
Oh, my God.
The gimmick was Shane Douglas just wanted to have a wrestling match.
Yeah.
And these ECW fuckers dragged him into this hardcore bullshit.
Sandman, I am not making this up. This will sound like a lie. This will sound like a gag. This will sound physically impossible, but I swear if this is true. Sandman found a way to hit a leg drop without leaving his feet.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't know.
He just stood up and then sat down, like fell back on his ass.
And then stood back up.
Yeah.
All I know is in my notes, it's just a series of comments on Sandman.
Yeah.
Sandman tosses him onto chair on the cement outside. Yeah. Sandman misses the most hilarious leg drop ever.
Yes.
Yeah. Sandman goes up as heavy as possible for a side backbreaker.
Right.
Sandman did a...
Hey, Ted the Trailer McNailer just made the...
He's getting a head shaved on the CM Punk documentary.
I beat that guy.
And for the record. Hey, it's Benny Hinn. So, Sandman, I think what happened was he went up top. I think he said, I'm going to miss a splash. And then, like, in midair, he thought, no, wait, I'm missing a leg drop instead. But it was funny. I know exactly the spot you're thinking of.
It's funny because, like, I always laughed, even when I was a little kid. I always looked for the things that just didn't make sense to me. And one of them was in the famous Hulk Hogan Ultimate Warrior match where he misses the leg drop, mm-hmm. right? As a kid, I didn't really believe it was real, but boy, was I into those near falls.
Sure.
Like, dude, get your shoulder up quicker. Fuck. So I'm watching this match, and Hulk Hogan misses the leg drop, but the leg-dropping leg was bent.
Right.
I was like, shouldn't your leg be straight?
Of course it should.
Why would it be bent? So anyway, Sandman jumps off the top rope for this leg drop,
mm-hmm.
and he weighs, let's just say, 250 pounds. Okay, he landed with 240 pounds right on his right ass cheek.
Yes.
And then he immediately starts selling his left leg.
Right.
Which had been nowhere near the earth.
You always sell the left, Brian.
I mean, his ass had to hurt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He landed so hard on his right ass cheek.
Uh-huh.
It was like, you got to sell that cheek. Because nobody in the right mind watching this is going to think that didn't hurt your right ass cheek. But instead he grabbed his other leg. Which I guess, I don't know. But I laughed uproariously. And then Douglas tries to give him a side backbreaker. And yes. It's like, you're supposed to go up for the move. And Sandman managed to go down.
I think he was actually fighting back.
Yeah, he was trying, I don't know. Shane Douglas had to lift with superhuman strength and just hold him for a second before he dropped him.
So, here's the finish. Shane hooks a sleeper. Woman hits him with a cane in the back of the knee. Shane falls backward, does not let go of the sleeper hold, and the ref counts three, and Sandman wins.
Yes.
Yeah.
While in a sleeper.
He won the title.
That was the second time on the show a woman had screwed someone, by the way.
CCW, dude.
It is ECW. I believe the fans chanted, "You got worked." So Sandman and a woman celebrated together. She did leave with the champion.
I thought they said you got fucked.
That would probably make more sense, actually. No, woman did not strip naked and hitchhike back to Fort Lauderdale. She celebrated with the Sandman. Douglas threw a tantrum, threw on a Monday Night Raw shirt, told the fans to kiss his ass, and left with the crowd.
Yep.
That's right. If I have to go somewhere else to wrestle, you can all kiss my ass.
Yep. Dean Douglas.
Yep. They did a video package of Douglas's career as ECW champ, which is really just him winning the NWA tournament in the final against Two Cold Scorpio and then throwing down the belt. The goofball happy music they played in.
Yeah.
Just like, I know you can't use the music they played, but I'm sure somewhere in your stock music library you have something better than this. You must. They had backstage footage of Woman and Sandman arriving.
How about that?
That may be what they played, actually. So, Terry Funk congratulated Sandman, asked for a title shot. Ron Simmons. I guess I knew Ron Simmons had been in ECW, but just seeing him there was such a mindfuck. He congratulated the Sandman. Ron Simmons congratulated the Sandman on winning his match, also asked for a title shot. You must all watch the final minutes of this program to see Ron Simmons and the Sandman try and fail to shake hands.
Oh, yes. My God.
Over and over and over again.
Ron Simmons wanted to do a handshake, but Sandman decided he wanted to do a fist bump.
Yeah.
That failed.
Oh, my God, it failed.
Badly.
It's hilarious.
So then Sandman said, and I'm not making this up, Sandman said, I have won the world championship, and thus, wrestling is dead.
Well, he foreshadowed the future of ECW, is what he did.
He did. And then a woman said that it was a male-dominated industry, but now she was the one with all the power. And the last thing they said was that Sandman's first title defense would be against Shane Douglas's best friend, Cactus Jack.
Yeah.
Second half of the show was fun. First half was, man.
You know what was interesting about this show? Two things. They did commentary in Paul Heyman's basement.
Yeah.
I don't know if, like, they were unable to do a second take or what, but there were two moments here that were baffling to me. One was when they showed the replay of Eddie Guerrero and Too Cold for the TV title, which we watched last week, and Too Cold hits a tumbleweed and blatantly lifts Eddie's shoulder up at two. And on commentary, Styles said, "Eddie kicked out! Too Cold cannot believe it!" I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? So I don't know if, like, if Too Cold screwed up and didn't want Eddie kicking out of his finish, and so he lifted him up, and so Styles just went with the plan and called it a kick out, or what happened, but that was weird. And then in the main event, I'm watching it, and I knew that Douglas was a heel, and I knew that he was with Woman, because they had just done that promo. So they're doing the match, and I'm watching it, and I see Douglas go for the sleeper, and Woman hits him in the leg with the cane. She hits Douglas in the leg with the cane. And so Styles is like, Woman hits Douglas with the cane. Like it was just any spot in any match. Not that it was a turn. Not that she hit the wrong guy. Not that she screwed the guy. He just called it like any other spot. And then the guy falls down. They count the pin. And then Styles suddenly seems to realize, oh shit, that's the finish. Mm-hmm. And she screwed the guy. So I'm just kind of watching it going, why didn't you just retape that part? Why didn't you explain better on commentary that she had screwed her man and sided with the other guy? But other than that, it was a fun show.
I always get a kick out of watching the Sandman wrestle.
How can you not?
It just,
it's different.
It's so entertaining, and it really shouldn't be. It should infuriate.
Why? He tries so hard.
He does. But as a guy who used to wrestle and has been watching wrestling all my life, it should make me angry, but it just tickles me.
You know what the most disappointing part of that whole match was?
What's that?
When Shane Douglas went for a vertical suplex and Sandman blocked it. I so right. badly wanted to see Sandman
straight
go completely
arrow.
Straight as an arrow in that vertical suplex. I've never seen a man try so hard and remain so horrible as the Sandman.
You know,
usually guys that suck don't really care all that much. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You know, his first gimmick was he was a surfer.
Yeah.
And like in the early ECW, he actually, you know, wore a singlet and had zinc on the end of his nose, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He was actually trying to be a wrestler. And then, I don't know, let's start drinking beer and smoking cigarettes.
This is better.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, let's do one last song here, and then we shall wrap it up. A popular classic for those listening for free that have not heard this one in a while. I'm making this up, my buddy Wang. So you'll never guess what he shows up in last night. I'm making this up. Purple trash card. With no sleeves, by the way, to show off the guns.
Wow.
I'm making this up. And I'm just like, what are you wearing? Wang's all flustered. He just kind of blurts out, well, I didn't think anyone was going to be here today. I thought it would be only Brian. So now he'll never let us down. Purple Wang all night long. My buddy Wang. Poor Wang. Purple Wang all night long. My buddy Wang. Poor Wang. It's a sign of affluence. Wang all night long. My buddy Wang. Poor Wang. Purple Wang all night long. My buddy Wang. Poor Wang.
Purple Wang, you say?
Yeah, all night. I choked that Purple Wang
wow.
so many times. He's the most amazing dude. All right, why don't you put that thing away there, Craig? Let's be a professional. Let's move on. He claimed he has a buddy that sent it to him. I was like, oh, yeah? Your buddy's got a sense of humor, I see.
So this
fact.
Is...
This is a fact. Good. Everywhere I look, Purple Wang.
Flopping out of the mat.
Yep.
Oh, God.
We need ways to cheer Vinny up.
Yeah, don't think about Purple Wang and then spew that water everywhere. You chose the purple one? Not making this up. He's the most amazing dude. Why don't you turn the vibrator off? Can you put it on his vagina?
Wow.
I apologize.
What?
Everybody.
Sure.
Vinny does not take any guff.
Yes. Until then, we got a hell of a show.
Purple Wang all night long. My buddy Wang. Poor Wang. Purple Wang all night long. My buddy Wang. Poor Wang. So preposterous. Purple Wang all night long. My buddy Wang. Purple Wang all night long. My buddy Wang. Poor Wang.
They had to take refuge.
Lee is running full force to the back bedroom, scared. Because the cat was.
There you go, everybody. I gotta say, with this goddamn heat wave, I can't really make fun of Wang for his sleeveless purple rash guard anymore. It's hot.
I'm wearing a tank top.
I couldn't even believe it. I've seen more in Vinny tonight than I need to. Luckily, he's behind that computer.
Right.
All right, everybody. We're going to wrap it up. Thanks for listening, everybody. Congratulations to Ryan, Sammy, Adam, Travis, Jason, and Red Machine, who all got answers right, and the guy that got it wrong, but still won $5 from PayPal. We'll do another contest here in another month or so. But until then, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again after a while.
Good night.
Bye.